This is about discrimination. This is about safety. This is about the fact that a child from New York City can go to community college 90 minutes away and face the risk of death. The child was beaten up so badly, that they had to put that child on reduced caseload in college because she suffered brain damage. That is the reality of what these folks live with. So spare me your lectures about goddamn bathrooms. Spare me your lectures about hypotheticals. You got a police chief who has a problem, send us a letter, because I've never read one.
All right, we are here. It is the Rebecca Juro Show. Thanks for tuning in. And, of course, that was Danny O'Donnell, Upper West Side congressman.
He's awesome.
State congressman.
Yeah.
In New York. He was talking about gender. I love that guy. He, matter of fact, he's Rosie O'Donnell's brother, as a matter of fact.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he is. But, you know, always been a great advocate for our community. One of those guys you can always count on to be there. And, of course, we know that GENDA, the Gender Expression Non-Discrimination Act, the bill that would give transgender rights to citizens of New York State, has, as it has five times previously, passed the New York State Assembly. Of course, as is always the case in New York, the problem is the New York Senate. And so we are waiting to see what's going to happen there. We don't know. The makeup is a little different. There's this kind of co-leading thing that they're doing. Of course, you got to get past Ruben Diaz, that bigoted asshole. You got to get past him. We don't know what's going to go on. And, of course, needless to say, Andrew Pago Cuomo, the governor there, just his pulling in Obama, makes a lot of promises, doesn't follow through. Once he got gay marriage covered, he doesn't want to know us anymore. Typical Democratic leadership reaction. But we're hopeful that, you know, eventually he'll, you know, actually, you know, act like a leader instead of a totally money-motivated politician, which, of course, is what he's been behaving like. You know, once the money runs out the door and moves on, so does he. That's what we've seen so far from Cuomo. I hope he proves me wrong, but, well, frankly, I'm not expecting it. I think the real progressives in the New York State Senate are going to have to do this themselves. They're not going to get any help from Pago Cuomo because, you know, there's no cash in it for him. So he's not going to be bothering to lead the charge like he did with marriage when there was tons of money being shoveled into politicians' pockets. You know, then he was right up there, needless to say. But, you know, that's par for the course for Democratic politics. On the other hand, we do have some friends. As you heard, we have Danny O'Donnell. We've got several others. It's not like we don't have support. It's not like there's not well over 70% support for this bill in the state of New York. Okay? But six times this bill has now been passed in the Assembly of New York. And six times it has gone down to defeat because the Senate has refused to take it up. This is what you get when you trust wealthy white gay activists like the Empire State Pride Agenda. When they tell you, we'll come back for you, this is what happens. This is what happens. And I'm not necessarily blaming the Pride Agenda, but this is nonetheless the reality. Because you know what? The politicians say exactly what they're saying. Oh, we took care of the rich folks. We took care of our own, you know, income for our campaign coffers. There's no more money to be had, so let's not bother with this. That's what we've been hearing since 2002. Six fucking times this thing has passed in the New York Assembly. Let's see if anything changes this time, or if we get yet another lesson in why organizations like the Empire State Pride Agenda and the Human Rights Campaign cannot be trusted whenever they say, we'll come back for you. Okay, let's see if we actually get something done here. Don't forget that in New Jersey, here in New Jersey, it took us 18 years to pass trans rights after gay rights was passed. Now, of course, they're still waiting for to pass gay marriage, but that's because, number one, Democrats caved at the last minute back when we had John Corzine in office, guy who would have signed it, Democrat, and now we're suffering through the bigotry of Chris Christie. And frankly, you know, we got a candidate up against him. Her name is Barbara Bono, nice lady. Comes from my county, as a matter of fact. Good politician, has the right values. Nobody knows who the fuck she is. That's the problem. Chris Christie made a name for himself with the whole Sandy thing. And he, right now, he's way out in front because people loved him backslapping Obama, you know? And don't get me wrong, he did the right thing. I'm not going to criticize Chris Christie for doing what he had to do to get money to the people who needed it out on the Jersey Shore. I am not going to criticize him for that. He did what any good governor should do. Any decent governor. Okay, so I give him credit on that one. But you know what? I don't care. Republican, Democrat, space alien, you know, disciple of Klaatu. It doesn't matter. If you're any kind of governor, if you're any kind of leader, that should be the very least that you should expect from your political leaders. The very least. The very least. And so I give Christie credit on that one. But you know what? Let's be honest, okay? This is a guy, he is the roadblock to gay marriage in this state. He is the roadblock. Makes no bones about it. Spends his time trying to arrange for nice tax breaks for millionaires. Seriously. I mean, other than that, other than the Sandy thing, he's pretty much been, you know, right along with the Republican agenda. Don't forget, this guy is expected to run for president in 2016. Now, I don't think he has a chance in hell. Okay? Because he's too liberal for the hard-wing Republicans. He'll never get through Iowa. He'll never get through New Hampshire. He'll never get past he'll never get past the primary process. He's too liberal. He made nice with Obama. His national career is over.
Oh, there's Ted Cruz.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Ted Cruz. How about him?
Yeah, Ted Cruz. Yeah. Oh, please, please, please let them run Ted Cruz. Oh, God, I would love to see that. It'll be better. Are you kidding? That'll be more entertaining than Sharon Angle and Christine O'Donnell put together. Okay. You know, I will go from I am not a witch to I am not a raging lunatic homophobe jerk, Bible thumping moron,
and a McCarthyite. You know,
that shit may play well in Texas, but you know they ain't gonna fly out here.
God, it's so weird. I can't believe the stuff that guy says.
Oh yeah, and you know, he's anti gun regulation. See, that I think is the sleeping giant that I don't think people realize. I think that, and this is absolutely personal opinion here, okay? I'm not basing this on anything. I'm just saying this is how what I suspect. I think that the gun rights, the politicians who did not support background checks. And I don't know about the other stuff, the magazines and that kind of thing. You can argue back and forth. But you didn't vote for background checks. I think you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Okay? Because even your own party, even your own voters are saying this is not unreasonable. I think it's going to cost them. I think a lot of seats will be lost, particularly for Republicans, on that issue. And I think if Democrats are smart, they will keep hammering that. But, you know, it's interesting. Because those of you who listen to this show on a regular basis, you know that I've been saying for months and months that the Democrats, the Congress, isn't going anywhere near anything that even smells like gay marriage until after the Supreme Court rules. And we're seeing that happen right now. So now, all of a sudden, we've got Enda. Okay, Enz is introduced. This is the perfect time, really, for it to be introduced, because nobody's going anywhere near marriage. They don't want to touch marriage with a 10-foot pole until the Supreme Court does something. That's perfectly reasonable. Why, if you're a politician, regardless of whether you're on one side or the other, why would you want to go near this issue when whatever you do is legislatively could be instantly overturned by the Supreme Court in a month or two? It makes no sense. Politically speaking, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, it's just dumb to get involved with that issue right now. First of all, here comes Enda. Here comes Jenda. And we don't know. We don't know. I mean, we the history here is awful. We know this. We're going to get into that. We have Tico Almeida from Freedom to Work. He's going to be coming up. He's going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour. And we'll get into this with him because, you know, now we should point out, of course, Congress is on vacation this week. So there's nothing going on right now at this moment. But what we have heard is we've heard a promise from Tom Harkin. Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa says he's going to bring it up in his committee. We still have yet to hear Harry Reid commit. All we've heard is his usual mealy mouth, we look forward to working with Senator Harkin, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-oh. We've lost the hostess. Let's call her back. Something caused us to disconnect. And right in the middle of a good little rant there.
What happened?
Something disconnected us.
Oh.
Some power surge or some freaking demons or something. I don't know what's going on in this studio. What do you expect?
Well, where did I leave off? Where did I stop talking?
I don't know.
how long was I off the air?
About 2 seconds.
Oh, that's all? All right.
Yeah,
well, anyway, so we got Tico Almeida. He's going to be on at the bottom of the hour. We're going to get into it with him. And we're going to ask him, you know, what do you think the chances are here? I mean, does it get through the Senate? Does it get through the House? You know, it seems like, you know, on the one hand, you got senators and you got congressmen saying, oh, yeah, it's got a great shot. But, you know, I'll tell you, when I hear that, my red light starts going off. My bullshit detector starts heading into the red zone. Because this is exactly the same kind of stuff we heard in 2009. And guess what happened? Cheep, 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 cheep. Yeah, crickets. That's what we got. We got crickets. We got a lot of promises and no backup. No backup. That's what I want to know. I mean, you know, we've been hearing President Obama, through his spokespeople, promise for 4 years that he's going to support this. Well, here it is. Here's chance number two for you, Mr. President. You think you can open your mouth this time? Now, here's another thing. There's also another issue, and I'm going to get ask Tico about this a little later. There are people who are saying that it's the smartest thing that Obama can do to help the bill is to keep his mouth shut. On the other hand, funny how that didn't seem to be the playbook with marriage, which represented money, 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 money. That didn't stop him from opening up his mouth. But here, all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute, no, now, you know, and I'll tell you, I mean, you know, normally I love her, she's on the show all the time. Mara Kaisling is floating this, that because Republicans hate Obama so much that they would vote against it just because he supports it. Well, you know, I'm not sure I buy that. It didn't seem to get in the way of gay marriage, did it? The truth is, people who are voting for marriage are voting for marriage. People who are voting against it or continuing to vote against it doesn't seem to have had much of an impact. I don't think, you know, I mean, there have been plenty of other reasons. I think that has to do with their constituency. I think it has to do with the ad campaign. I think it has to do with all the millions of dollars HRC spends on this stuff while they're busy ignoring ENDA, you know, and issuing a press release every month or two, you know, going, yeah, rah, rah, now let's move on back on to marriage. I mean, to give you an idea, I mean, anybody who thinks that HRC is suddenly involved, you know, really gives a shit about people's right to work, I just got a mailing from them just the other day. And as I like to do with these things, the first thing I do when I want to see where HRC is, whether what they've been saying is bullshit or the truth, is you look at the fundraising letter when they're asking you for money and see what they say. So now I'm going to go through and I'm going to count issues. This is a 3 1/3, 2/3 of a page letter. Okay, now, of course, it starts out very general. I know you believe in basic fairness, blah, blah, blah. Okay, now we go down, and it's the first page is all, for the first 2/3 of the page, it's, you know, you need to line up, you need to join us, blah, 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 you know, usual rah-rah kind of language. First issue that you see on the front page, DOMA. Well, all right. So that's DOMA. That's the first one. Down this last paragraph, second mention of DOMA. On to page 2. Okay. Top paragraph, DOMA. Then we have 3 paragraphs, marriage, marriage, marriage. Let's see. Okay, we go on a little bit more. A little bit more rah-rah. American Family Association, blah, blah, blah. Okay, then we go down a little further. Same-sex couples, marriage, same-sex couples. Okay, so let's see. We'll move on to page 3. Title of page 3, HRC is fighting for marriage equality. Okay, so have anybody noticed a pattern here so far? Basically, marriage, marriage, marriage. Then it's people spoke out and our elected officials listened. Marriage, marriage, DOMA, don't ask, don't tell. First other issue other than marriage mentioned, page 3, middle of the page, don't ask, don't tell. DOMA again. Then at the very bottom of the third page, HRC is fighting for workplace equality. Let's see. Page 4. Oh, yeah, you got one paragraph on that. Doesn't mention an issue, doesn't mention a bill, just says we're fighting for this. Moving on. Now it's on to... HRC is working to make our schools safer for LGBT students. No mention of a bill. No mention of any actual effort. And then the bottom two paragraphs, Defense of Marriage Act. And let's see, going down. Oh, and during a PS, one more issue, the Defense of Marriage Act. So has anybody noticed an issue with this? The only issue that is actually mentioned, the only piece of legislation in this entire 4-page letter is DOMA. They mention, I mean, talk about, you know, downgrading employment rights. It's all DOMA. You know, I mean, and what's even worse is you would think, well, now they're not going. There's nothing that can be done with DOMA until Congress, until the Supreme Court rules. So you would think that, you know, this shouldn't be a big deal. Wait, it gets better. So we're done with the letter. Here they send you another flyer. First they send you a thing that says, here, donate all this money. And then on the bottom of that, there's 3 slips of paper that you could fill out to send to your legislators. Each one, every single one, is titled End the Discriminatory Defense of Marriage Act. Again, anybody noticing a pattern here? So, basically, HRC, once again, is trying to calm the community by issuing supportive press releases, but in reality, they're still haven't changed. It's still marriage, marriage, all marriage, all the time. And so this is why you should not trust these people. Oh, and if you send them $40, they'll send you this beautiful limited edition field bag. Because, you know, after all, if you're fighting for marriage equality and, you know, you might want to have this limited edition field bag because, you know, that's what activism is all about, after all. Now, we've also got one more here. Here's another piece of paper they included. We actually get some other issues here. Let's see, this one, they mentioned Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It says, this is what we're up against. And they have some quotes from Republicans. They do mention ENDA. They mentioned, Don't Ask, Don't Tell. They mentioned Defense of Marriage Act. They mentioned ENDA at the bottom of the page, of course. And here's what we're doing. They're fighting, working for marriage equality, fighting workplace discrimination, and it even has, and welcoming schools program. I don't know exactly what that means. They even have a nice little map where they show you how it's legal, where it's legal to fire someone for being gay and trans, which, of course, you have to, basically, in order to read it, you need a magnifying glass, but at least it's there. You see this thing, and then you wonder. It's like, this is why nobody trusts the Human Rights Campaign anymore, because, they say one thing, they issue these press releases, and then you get these mailers that basically the message is something entirely different. It really, and it's disappointing because, I would love to see HRC do something like say, okay, we're going to take $1 million out of that huge pile of corporate cash that we get from Northrop Grumman and all these other major corporations. We're going to take $1 million, barely a drop in the bucket for this organization, and we're going to devote that to employment. When have we seen anything like that? Not as far as I know. Hey, Mr. Mike, it is almost time for our first break, is it not? I see. Look at that. We great minds do think alike. We have got Anthony and the Johnsons, My Lady Story. We will be back in 5 with Tico Almeida.
My Lady Story, Lustus Beauty, Lustus Beauty.
I'm the voice of spring. I bring you some little goodies from the forest.
You won.
Back, it's the Rebecca Giro Show. Thanks for sticking around. And of course, as you know, we just had ENDRA reintroduced in Congress. GENDA, the New York Trans Civil Rights Bill, is in that legislature, hopefully going forward. And we have got Tico Almeida of Freedom to Work. Tico, how you doing?
I'm doing really well, and I'm very glad to be back on your show. Thank you for the invitation.
Oh, my pleasure. We love having you on because, you're the go-to guy on this stuff. And I guess I want to start off by asking you, we've had the bill reintroduced. We've heard that Senator Harkin is committed to getting a vote in his committee. What in your opinion, are the prospects here as far as, not only getting through the committee, but also actually getting a vote in the full Senate?
I'm optimistic about a Senate vote happening this year. And there are a few reasons why. One is that Chairman Harkin is retiring. He announced back in February that this would be his last few years in Congress. He's been chairman of the Labor Committee in the Senate for seven years so far. He'll have his seventh and eighth year before he retires. And I think for him, this is his motivation and his drive to push ENDA forward is about his legacy. And he has long been a supporter of an inclusive ENDA. And I think he's long been frustrated that it hasn't made more progress. And I really think that with only 2 years left in the Senate before he retires, after a very long and I think very distinguished career as a progressive legislator who's passed a lot of good workplace bills that help a lot of Americans out, I think he really wants to take this as far as it can go. He doesn't want to have retired without giving it a full shot. And he's even told reporters that he considers ENDA his committee's number one priority. And that's something that I don't think any, you know, legislator who runs a committee has ever said before. And so that's a big difference and a big plus we have going for us as ENDA advocates this year, that Chairman Harkin really wants to move this forward as far as it'll go before his retirement. The other thing is that Senator Merkley has also been really proactive and optimistic about the chances of getting to 60 votes in the Senate, and he is really fired up about pushing forward in a way that even he was quieter a few years ago on ENDA. He was ENDA's lead sponsor, but he did not come out of the introduction 2 years ago of the bill sort of guns blazing in the way he did last week, saying that he thinks it is high time that every one of those 100 senators have to have their ENDA vote on the record. We've been letting, you know, some of these Republicans hide their feelings about ENDA. They've been getting away easy, getting to hide behind the fact that there's been no vote. And it's time for every one of the 100 senators to be on the record, and that way we know who the good guys are, who the bad ones are, and who we have to target.
Right, but of course we also know, and we saw this in 2009, that the real gatekeeper here is Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. Do we have reason to believe that Harry Reid is going to break the 17-year streak and bring it up for a vote in the full Senate?
We've got some reason for hope, but we should continue to push Harry Reid. You've identified a real issue here, that Harry Reid made a promise a few years ago, and he said, he was actually speaking to an HRC audience, I believe, and he said, "I'm going to bring ENDA to the Senate floor soon."
Yeah.
Those were his words, soon. Mm-hmm. And that never happened. And only in Washington, D.C., and only when speaking to a politician, can the word soon mean 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the road. That's how slowly, unfortunately, things move here. So he does need more pressure, and he's broken that promise before, so we can't take it for granted, and we can't, we can't count this as something that's a foregone conclusion. I think it is important to have your listeners and to have advocacy groups calling out on Harry Reid to keep his promise, hold the floor vote, and that means we should be doing phone calls to his office and everything else we can do to get him to keep his promise.
Absolutely. Now, I think this is probably a foregone conclusion, but I'll ask you, because you know the Senate certainly better than I do. Is it reasonable? Do we expect that Republicans will try to filibuster this, or do you think we're going to see something, you know, with all these politicians coming out in favor of gay marriage, maybe this will have an easier time in the Senate than it has in the past? Do you think that's going to factor in at all?
I think there will be an attempted filibuster. We don't yet know who's going to do it. And the interesting thing, and this is sort of goes to my point about how the Democrats have been letting the Republicans off too easy on ENDA, there is no identified senator who's going to do the filibuster, who's threatening the filibuster, because for the past 7 years with Democratic control, there has been no real chance that they were going to move ENDA forward. So there was no need for a Republican to threaten filibuster or to actually do the filibuster. So it's only once it becomes clear that Harry Reid is going to move this forward that some Republican will have to identify himself as the one to do the filibuster. I think it's going to happen. I think one of their far-right people will do the filibuster, but I think we can get to 60 votes this year to defeat that filibuster. And here's how I get there.
Okay.
So we've got 55 Democrats or independents who caucus with the Democrats. I think we got a shot at getting all 55 yes votes on ENDA. We may lose one. I think the Democrat most likely to vote no on ENDA is Senator Pryor of Arkansas. Mm-hmm. But he's another one where it'd be great for folks to call his office and to be lobbying him to support ENDA. But I say we've either got 54 or possibly all 55 of the Democrats and independents. So you then need five Republicans to defeat the filibuster. We know we've got two of the five already guaranteed because Senator Mark Kirk of Illinois is our lead Republican sponsor, and he's doing a fantastic job of pushing for the bill. And Senator Collins of Maine is another co-sponsor already as an original co-sponsor. So that takes care of two of the five. So really it comes down to getting three, maybe four more Republicans. Here is where Senator Portman's gay son, Will, might be one of our MVPs in terms of advocacy once we cross 60 votes. I think it's very, very difficult for anyone to say they're for marriage equality but not for ENDA, which is a much easier bill, which polls 10 or 20 points higher than marriage equality. And, you know, Will Portman is a college student now in Connecticut, but his home state is Ohio. And when he graduates from Yale, he's going to be going back most likely to Ohio to look for work. And I can't imagine that his dad would allow it to be the case that his own son could get refused a job for which he's totally qualified just because he's gay. So I'm optimistic that Portman's going to do the right thing. In addition, I think one of our next most likely Republican senators is Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. She voted for the hate crimes bill that includes both sexual orientation and gender identity. She voted for Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal. And most recently, she voted for the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act. And that included LGBT folks as well, fully inclusive. So she's got three good gay or trans rights votes on her record already. And I think she's a very reasonable, very centrist senator who doesn't mind bucking with Republican establishment. And so I'm very optimistic about getting her to yes.
Okay.
So that would leave one or so more, and there are another four or five that we can go into if you want, but I really think we can get to 60 this year.
Okay. And well, another thing, of course, even if we manage to get through the Senate, we still have the House to deal with. And what's interesting is I actually dug up a clip today, and I want to run this, where we knew that Paul Ryan voted for the previous version of the non-inclusive ENDA back in 2007, and he actually was addressed by one of his constituents at a town hall, and it's something very interesting to say. I want to run this and get your thoughts on the other side. Mike, can you run that?
I would also like to know if you would ever support the passage of ENDA if it included gender identity as well as sexual orientation.
So I voted for ENDA the last time it came up, and the version, the bill that we voted on in 2009, 2010, when was it? Was it that long ago? That version I would support again. I'm showing a different version. I'm going to take a look at it. But ENDA, okay, the Employer Non-Discrimination Act. This means that people cannot be discriminated against on sexual orientation for hiring or not hiring reasons, so that employment law. I agree with that. That's why I voted for it. We've had that law in the books since like 1982 here in Wisconsin. Lee Dreyfus, a Republican governor, signed that into law. So I do support that. I would vote the same way I voted the last time it came around.
Excuse me, it doesn't include gender identity, though.
Gender, what do you mean when you say gender identity? You talk about
transgender people.
Oh, transgender. Oh, I'd have to take a look at that. That transgender was not in the version of the ENDA that I supported. So that one I'm not going to knee jerk based on something I haven't read. I'd have to take a look at that. But as far as the ENDA version I voted for, I stand behind my position.
Okay, so I wanted to play that for a reason, Tico, because, you know, it seems like from what little I get back, and granted I have nowhere near the connections as you and many other people, but what I get back is that there's a lot of Paul Ryans out there in the House who are saying, well, you know, I'm okay with the gay thing, but this, well, you know, I'll have to get back to you on that. Is that going to be a real issue? And can we expect, A, a vote, and B, if we get a vote, is the transgender inclusion thing going to be a problem in the House?
Well, I think it's a good thing that he doesn't rule it out. He says he needs to look at the language, and he hasn't done so yet. And it's also a good thing that he has reiterated now numerous times his support for the concept of ENDA, the concept of workplace equality, and a federal bill that would address it and would protect people from discrimination. Here is another fact about Paul Ryan that's very recent that I think we have to consider when looking at what he just said and whether Paul Ryan or other people like him could get to yes on a transgender inclusive ENDA. He voted yes on the transgender inclusive VAWA, Violence Against Women Act reauthorization, just a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And not all, in fact, not many members of Republican leadership in the House did that, but a bunch of centrist Republicans and a bunch of young Republicans who sort of look down the road at their political future and realize that the tide is turning so quickly in favor of LGBT equality that they've got to get themselves on the right side of history or they're going to have a problem later on in their careers. So I think it's very notable that Paul Ryan, we now have on the record, voting yes on a transgender-inclusive bill. And it's the same definition of gender identity in VAWA that we'd be using in ENDA, in a fully inclusive ENDA. So he may need to study it more, and I think it's a good idea for more advocates, and in particular transgender folks, to go in and meet with him and talk to him, and so he can get more familiar with transgender people and get over any remaining hang-ups he or other Republicans might have. But that VAWA vote gives me hope that Paul Ryan and that others like him can, in fact, vote for a fully inclusive ENDA.
Yeah, and I would also point out for listeners, just to remind them that Wisconsin, where Paul Ryan is from, is one of the five states where they have sexual orientation protections but not gender identity protections. So I don't know whether that plays in at all, but you know, it's important to note that. You know, it's a very strong labor state, as we saw with the protests against Scott Walker last year, but never in that time in the media did we ever see anything mentioned about this. And one of the things I'm wondering also is we've seen this intense focus on marriage. We've seen it from the president, from the vice president, from pretty much the entire leadership of the Democratic Party, needless to say, the Human Rights Campaign and other Beltway organizations in a lot of cases. And I'm wondering, do you think that the intense focus on marriage, all the media attention, all the news reporting, all that stuff, does that hurt the effort to pass workplace rights and ENDA in particular, do you think?
I think we should fast forward to what the media attention we can expect around a Supreme Court decision or decisions about 2 months from now, at the end of June, on the two marriage cases. And like, and as you've identified, you're absolutely right that the media fixates on marriage and forgets about other issues like workplace equality for LGBT folks, like school safety for LGBT folks. Marriage is in their eyes, the shiny object in the media's eyes that they sort of, the only thing they see. And we do our best at Freedom to Work to try and pierce through and tell compelling stories about workplace discrimination and get ENDA into the news as much as we can. But looking forward to the end of June, when we know, I mean, it's a guarantee that no matter what happens in those two marriage cases at the Supreme Court, that'll be the top news story for that week, maybe. I predict, though, that regardless of the outcome, you're going to have a whole lot of Republicans who condemn marriage equality, but who say, but look, I'm not a bigot. I don't believe in discrimination against this community. I just think marriage is this separate, protected, special thing that we must, you know, prevent from being redefined, in their words. And that's the moment, right after the Supreme Court decision, when I think it's perfect timing to call their bluff on that claim. And say, look, you claim that you're mad about marriage equality and you're mad about the fact that the Supreme Court has maybe just struck down the so-called Defense of Marriage Act, but you also say that you don't want discrimination against this community. So here's a bill, ENDA, that has nothing to do with marriage. The word marriage is not in there. It has no effect on anyone's marriage or any definitions of marriage. It's just about employment and people's freedom to work without discrimination. If you're being honest that you only care about protecting marriage but don't want to discriminate, here's your perfect opportunity to prove it by voting for this bill. So what I'm putting forward, and I think what some other advocates are putting forward to Democratic leadership in the Senate, is that we should have ENDA teed up to go to the Senate floor in July as soon after that Supreme Court vote as possible, to call the bluff to those people who are going to say, we're mad only because we want to protect marriage, but we don't believe in discrimination. And our response should be, perfect. If you don't believe in discrimination, prove it with a yes vote on this bill.
I hear you. Okay. Now, another thing I wanted to ask you about was a few days ago, we saw the ACLU came out with a position paper, an op-ed, whatever you want to call it, that says that they're calling for a narrower religious exclusion in ENDA. That they're saying that the exclusion, religious exclusion in ENDA is too broad and it needs to be narrowed. Now, there's people on both sides, both people who say that this is a great idea, and others say we shouldn't go anywhere near this because it's going to kill whatever chance that, that this bill has. You know, and if you start saying, well, you know, let's limit the right of these religious organizations, that's going to take people who might be on the fence and push them over into the no vote. Where are you on this? Do you think the ACLU has a point here or no?
I respect the ACLU for its decision to express concerns about the bill and to complain about the bill and to push from the left. I think, of course, they have a constitutional right to do that, and I respect that they're an organization that stands on principle very often, not just on this, but on all kinds of things. Even when standing on principle isn't popular, they're known and for their willingness to do so, much more so than a lot of other organizations in Washington, D.C. So I respect what they're doing. I understand the push from the left, and I think it's good when I think oftentimes there isn't enough of a progressive push in Washington, D.C., so I think it's good that they're complaining from the left. But I'm comfortable with the broad bipartisan compromise that is reflected in the current religious exemption that one votes from the entire spectrum of political thought. So the current version that the ACLU does not like won the yes votes of Tammy Baldwin, Nancy Pelosi, George Miller, Jerry Nadler, John Conyers. So the entire progressive end of Congress is back when there was a vote in 2007 specifically on the religious exemption. That same language also won the yes votes of John Boehner, Eric Cantor, Paul Ryan, Roy Blunt, the entire Republican leadership. Got 402 votes when it came up in the House. So basically everyone was for it. And I think it is the best language to get ENDA passed as soon as possible. It is a religious exemption language that makes crossing 60 in the Senate possible this year. I think if the religious exemption were moved to the left, there's no way we would get to 60, and frankly, we might not even get 50 votes on ENDA, and it could be another who knows how many years, if not decades, before an ENDA with that more liberal religious exemption could get through. So it could really be stalling ENDA for a long, long time, and we all know that it's been stalled too long already. So right. I respect the ACLU's push from the left, and I'm glad they're doing it. I agree. I'm comfortable with the bipartisan compromise religious exemption that has won support from the most progressive members like Tammy Baldwin and Nancy Pelosi, also John Boehner and Paul Ryan. So it's really consensus language that I'm sure everyone would love to tweak on both ends, but it's what's going to get ENDA through.
Gotcha. Okay. Another thing I wanted to ask you about, another thing that just happened this week was GENDA, which is New York's version of ENDA, the statewide transgender, which is specifically a transgender rights bill, employment,
right?
Because, of course, gays and lesbians have full rights in New York, was just passed in their assembly. But there's still a question as to whether or not it's going to get through their Senate. Do you think that these state wins and losses of employment protections at the state level, does that impact the federal ENDA effort? And if so, how?
I do think it's very helpful for our momentum for federal ENDA when state legislatures do the right thing and pass their own state version. And so I was thrilled when I saw ENDA not just pass the New York Assembly, but it was basically a 2-to-1 margin in favor. So it was a blowout. And that was really impressive, and I'm thrilled, and we're thrilled to congratulate all the folks up in New York who did so much work on that, and fingers crossed for the New York Senate vote. Another example I want to give you about how state legislatures matter is the case of Nevada. So Nevada now has fully inclusive employment protections that include not just gay and lesbian folks, but also transgender folks. And my favorite aspect of how that law came to be, the transgender inclusive part of it, is that it was signed by Republican governor of Nevada, Brian Sandoval. And so not only is it helpful that Nevada became yet one more state that has transgender protections, but the fact that a Republican governor signed it is something that we're going to use to our advantage this year, because one of the undecided but gettable Republican senators in the U.S. Senate is Senator Heller of Nevada. And we're going to be able to go to Senator Heller and say, look, your own state has had transgender workplace protections for the past 2 or 3 years. The sky did not fall. You know, there were none of these scaremongering scenarios that we know our nastiest opponents are going to use about transgender inclusion. None of that actually happened in your own state, and you've had it on the books for 3 years. Plus, it was a Republican governor, your friend, Governor Sandoval, who signed it, and he didn't face any backlash. He's still governor. He's still popular. There's no issue there. So I think movement on the state level helps us in a very general way, and it helps us in an important way. It also helps us with particular members who are on the fence this year for this Senate vote, who we're going to be able to reach out to, like Senator Heller of Nevada.
Right. Well, one of the things, though, I remember when Sandoval signed it, one of the things that we were talking about, and I was told, was that one of the reasons why it got through in Nevada and was signed by a Republican governor was because there was a very strong push among state businesses. A lot of the Nevada, particularly Vegas and Reno, a lot of the hotels and places where there's a lot of trans workers and a lot of people, and there were a lot of problems, and there was a business push that said, you know, the businesses feel this is best for our business if you pass this. And apparently the governor was persuaded by that. Do you think that is a key part of this, not only at the state level, but also at ENDA? I mean, we've seen a lot of corporate speakers from places like General Mills and other big corporations. Do you think that's going to help push it over the edge if it does get pushed over the edge?
I do think the business case is a very important aspect of our ENDA advocacy, and that's in the works for this year. It's too bad in a certain way. In an ideal world, senators would do this because it's the right thing to do, because it's morally right, because, you know, we should live by the golden rule and treat other people as you want to be treated. That to me is enough reason for all 100 senators to do this. But living in reality, we know that Washington D.C. doesn't work that way, and the golden rule is talked about but not lived all that often. So oftentimes with certain swing senators, you've got to make the business case, and they find that very compelling. So we're preparing to make that to some of these holdouts, and we've got a lot of great Fortune 500 companies who are going to be willing to do ENDA advocacy with us. To give one example, there was a Senate briefing for a dozen or more Senate offices that Freedom to Work organized last year, and Dow Chemical was one of the lead speakers touting why they feel that it is important for their business to have LGBT non-discrimination policies and why they want that to be a national policy that all workplaces follow. So Dow has lobbied for ENDA. There are a number of other companies. I can't give the names, but tomorrow afternoon I'm having a conference call with representatives from 3 big Fortune 500 companies to pitch them on how they can get involved and help us make the business case for ENDA in the immediate future. You know, it's time. the time to act on this is right away, and the time for advocacy is right away, because the good news is Mr. Harkin is going to hold this committee vote possibly in late May, maybe in June, but he's committed to moving it fast, and like I said before, I think the ideal time for an end of vote is July. And it may get pushed to the fall, but we're going to push for this to happen as quickly as possible. So I hope your listeners will start making calls to their senators and members of the House as soon as possible, and really let's build some momentum and move ENDA as far forward as we can this year.
Okay. I'll hit you with just one more question before I let you go. You know, one of the things that we've seen is the corporate push. Obviously, these corporations have a lot of power and have a lot of influence politically. But one of the things that I've seen personally, and, you know, not living in D.C. and being kind of outside the bubble, is one of the reasons why marriage gets so much of the attention is because there's so much more, frankly, money behind it. You know, we're talking about some of the wealthiest major corporations in our country. Can we not only count on them for support, but can our organizations, for example, Freedom to Work, an organization that's really focused on this issue, not on marriage, can we hope for any kind of financial backing, maybe some media effort or things along those lines from these corporations?
I think that's yet to be seen. Fundraising is the least fun part of my job running an LGBT nonprofit. I much prefer being on the Hill trying to persuade senators to vote yes. I much prefer, you know, doing social media and blog posts and Facebook graphics about making the case for ENDA. That is the work that I truly love doing, and I think that most LGBT advocates love doing. The fundraising part is the least fun part. You've identified a real problem. I agree with you that ENDA advocacy gets less funding than other types of LGBT advocacy, and we're working on it. But I can't speak to the giving plans of any particular company. So
I wasn't asking you to, but I was wondering, you know, because we see so much corporate involvement in the marriage issues that, you know, what I was saying was, well, you know, if these companies are as committed as they say when they go before Congress and they have these great presentations, you know, the natural thing is this, we would say the same thing to these corporations that we would say to the Human Rights Campaign, for example. What the heck are you doing with all that money? You know, I mean, and so we say, well, you know, if you're willing to spend millions on marriage, can you spend some, you know, and I'm talking in generality. We don't see that. We see a lot of this money from both the corporations and from organizations like HRC directed specifically at marriage, but we don't see it. What we see is press releases, and they send a representative to go speak to Congress, and that seems to be the sum total of it. You know, we don't get that kind of deep level support that marriage is getting, and that has to factor in, doesn't it?
I think it does factor in, and we're going to keep pushing for as much involvement from all of the players you've mentioned as possible. And I think I'm hopeful that once ENDA's prospects get more real, you know, 2 years ago, ENDA was introduced, and nobody had any plans to do anything other than a committee hearing. No senator was talking about doing a committee vote, and no senator was talking about the prospect of a full Senate vote. So it was completely theoretical, and that's why I think many of the players you identified kind of phoned it in. They did the minimum necessary in terms of put out a press release knowing that it's not going to, you know, actually get a vote, and that's enough. This year the prospects are more real than they were 2 years ago, and we've got real pledges from some very important senators that they're going to push this forward all the way to the Senate floor this year. So I hope the fact that it's actually going to get a vote is going to drive some big institutional players that have been a little bit on the sidelines in the past to really get in the game. And speaking of getting in the game, I think maybe a place to conclude our conversation is with the president and the White House. And there's a lot more that President Obama and his White House staff could do to help us move forward on workplace equality for LGBT Americans. starting, and I know you agree because I've seen your Facebook postings in frustration about this, and I'm very frustrated with the president and the White House too, starting with an executive order that would apply to federal contractors and cover basically one in four jobs in America, giving people enforceable workplace protections just with the signature of the president. With the stroke of a pen, he can provide so much help and so much protection against insidious and totally irrational discrimination. And he's been dragging his feet. He's been holding out without any good reason to do it, especially given that he made it a written campaign promise 4 years ago. So we're going to keep pushing on that front. I'm frustrated. I don't know when it's coming. I hope maybe they'll sign it for Pride Month in June, but it's been frustrating, and we need to push the White House to do more with the executive order. And while they're at it, they should get in the game in the congressional lobbying too. You know, the White House so far has not devoted much attention to pushing senators for ENDA, but now that the bill's been introduced, I'm hopeful, and I'm going to be urging White House staff to, you know, to dispatch their legislative team and to help us persuade Harry Reid to hold that vote. You know, I think it'd be very powerful if the president gave a high-profile public speech specifically about ENDA. That's something he's never done. He's never brought up ENDA in a State of the Union address. He's never given he's mentioned ENDA as a one-liner in sort of a laundry list of things at various LGBT events, but he's never really given a speech to make the case for workplace equality and how ENDA will help America's businesses and how ENDA will help America's LGBT employees. And I think that would actually be very helpful. He doesn't have to spend all of his time on this. He doesn't have to make it his number one legislative priority, but it should be a legislative priority among many. And he can spend some time on this, and the White House legislative team certainly can be lobbying Harry Reid to hold the vote.
Yeah, but do you think that a lot of people have said, in fact, I read Mara Kiesling said this, in fact, that maybe the best favor that Obama can do for us is to keep his mouth shut, because it would persuade Republicans that anything that Obama wants, you know, they should oppose, as is so often the case, and that she's making the argument that, well, you know, maybe he's doing us a favor by not doing anything, because the minute he comes out in favor of it, then they're going to organize against it. Do you think there's a validity there?
I thought that was something of a straw man argument, sort of suggesting that this should become his number one priority, which I'm not proposing and no one's proposing. I don't think President Obama should make himself the face of ENDA or make himself ENDA's lead lobbyist. I just think he can do something more than nothing. And so far, the White House has done pretty close to nothing in terms of advancing workplace equality for LGBT Americans. They've got a great track record. This president has a historical record of accomplishment for LGBT Americans on a number of issues. He has an incredible record. History is going to show that he so far has been our best president ever, and he may for all of time hold the record as the best president ever on LGBT issues. But the one exception is workplace equality, where they've done relatively very little. And it should start with signing an executive order that he promised to sign, give one speech while signing it saying, I've taken action because Congress is going too slowly, now it's their turn. And then leave it to the rest of us to persuade Congress, and we will. But he can do his part by keeping a campaign promise that he made in writing. And I'm disappointed in how slowly they're going, but I haven't given up hope on him yet. I think he's going to live up to his reputation as a champion for LGBT folks by keeping that promise and signing that order. I've not yet sort of concluded that he's going to break his promise. I think he's going to do the right thing.
I hope you're right. I really do. Tico, I want to say thank you so much for joining us. This is awesome, as always. I hope you'll join us again as we get further down the road and we start to see this move. Definitely going to want to talk to you again about this stuff.
I'd love to. Thank you for the invitation.
You bet. Have a good night. All right, and that was Tico Almeida of Freedom to Work. Pretty awesome. Gives me hope, I'll tell you. You know me. I'm a little cynical when it comes to these things, but I hope he's right. I really do. I hope, you know, this is it. Maybe this is the charm. Maybe this is the chance. Maybe this is the real chance to get this done. All right. Well, we got a break coming up. Actually, we were a little bit late on our break, but we were having a good conversation, so what the heck. And let's see. What do we have here?
Jenny Slater.
Oh, Jenny. We got Jenny Slater.
It's lost and found. Let's sing along right now.
Okay. We'll see you in 5 days.
To go on a crusade across the nation and try to do away with the homosexuals. Well, at least it's a fruit pie.
You won.
And, wow, we just had Tico Almeida from Freedom to Work giving us his thoughts on ENDA. And he's very hopeful, very optimistic. I tend to be a little cynical on these things because we've been so disappointed so many times. you know, I'm always hesitant. You know, I want to, you know, it's like, you know, it's like that, those UFO t-shirts. I want to believe.
I do too. I like that he hasn't really given up on Obama. Okay, I'll go with that. That's all right with me.
Yeah, I'm hoping he's right. I'm hoping, you know, maybe Barack Obama is saving it up for something, because he had a good point there at the end where he said that he was only mentioned in a part of a laundry list at gay organizations. What he didn't say was the gay organization in question was a DC Human Rights Campaign gala where he made those comments. And that's the problem. I think there's a lot of issues with people who are saying, how can we trust this guy? You know, if you can't even get around to this in 4 years after making a promise, I mean, you know, this has become a pattern with Democrats. Harry Reid, it's been 3 years. I mean, Obama, you know, he only gets 8 years. You know, how long are we supposed to wait before he decides it's politically convenient to keep his promises? I mean, you know, this is part of what makes me cynical as somebody who expresses her opinion on the air, as somebody who is just a member of this community. It makes me cynical because, you know, it's one thing if you say, hey, look, okay, you know, we couldn't get to it this session, we'll get to it next session. When you're talking 4 years plus and you're still hearing the same bullshit that you were hearing 4 years ago, you know, I mean, after this guy campaigned on this issue, I mean, this isn't something that somebody says, well, you know, now we'd like you to bring in this new issue that you didn't talk about during the campaign. He campaigned on this. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget. He campaigned on this. He said in print, I will use the weight of my administration to get this passed. He has made zero effort. Zero. Like Tico said. He says, almost nothing. I would say argue, you know what they argued? Oh, well, we sent somebody to the Senate hearing. Yeah. So what? How did you help? How is that using the weight of your administration? And then they wonder why nobody believes this guy. When you argue one thing, and then you turn around, and when the opportunity to protect millions of LGBT workers drops into your lap, as is the case with the executive order, and said, all it needs is your signature, Mr. President, and he'll happily sign an executive order to protect the right of undocumented workers to work in this country, but won't sign one to protect the rights of LGBT American citizens? I mean, that says something. I'm sorry. It just does. Okay? And I'm not anti-immigrant. I'm not anti, you know, I don't have any issues there. I'm just saying, when you're willing to protect the right of non-citizens, but you're not willing to protect the right of American citizens, how can you not draw something from that? And it's not about who's legal citizens and who's not. It's about what the priorities of our president. I mean, shouldn't his first concern, shouldn't the constituency he's beholden to first and foremost be the citizens of this country? Shouldn't we be at the front of the line here? Shouldn't we? Ooh, interesting. I, earlier today, as I am wont to do, I put out something on Twitter. Megan Stabler, she's right. I put out something, and it was a mistake. I want to say this. I want to say this out front and public, because those of you who follow me on Twitter, I screwed up this afternoon, and this is my fault, and I fully take responsibility on this. I tweeted Megan Stabler. She was touting, you know, Rhode Island and the gay marriage, and I wrote. I said, "Well, isn't this the third state to pass full rights for gays and none for trans people?" I was wrong. I was reading off of a map, one of these rafts that was incorrect, and I screwed up, and I thought that Rhode Island didn't have full protections. They do. My mistake. My bad. I said something to Megan Stabler that said, what did I write? I wrote, I think the third bill, third to pass full rights for gays but none for trans people. What is HRC doing on this? Anything? And I used the hashtag, which I use a lot when I do these kind of tweets, jobs first. She just responded to me just now. What are you referring to? Rhode Island has full GI gender identity protections and was second state to do so. I don't know about second state. Well, maybe it was. I don't know. I will respond to her when we get off the air. But, I'm not omnipotent. I screw up fairly regularly, too. Let's see. If it's reintroducing ENDA, I hope we get the Senate markup soon and will be voted out of committee. Well, yeah, but, I feel like I, fuck it. I'm going to respond to her, right? I can't wait. I'm going to do this right on the air. What the hell? I'm not attacking Megan Stabler here, but it'll be interesting to see. So I'm going to write. I'm going to tell you what I'm writing as I'm writing it. I'm going to say, you are right about got to remember, I only get 140 characters on Twitter, so we're doing this. Okay, my bad. But, let's see. What is HRC doing to promote ENDA in this Cong? I put Cong instead of Congress to save a couple of save a couple of letters there. But in this Cong, all we see so far is press. R-E-L releases. Oh, I spelled it wrong. Okay. So here's what I'm responding to Megan. This is, you are right about Rhode Island. My bad. But what is HRC doing to promote ENDA in this Congress? So all we see so far is press releases. Bing. Okay. That went off. Okay. So we'll see. We'll see. If she responds before the end of the show, I will tell you what she says. And you know what? She is somebody, Megan Stabler, who I there have been like three or four times that I've started to contact her, because I do have her contact information, and I stopped myself because I said, do I want to have her on the show? Do I want to interview her? I mean, she is the most prominent at this point, she is the only trans person who has any sort of official standing with the Human Rights Campaign. And yet I'm torn, because on the one hand, she is the highest ranking, the only ranking trans person in HRC. And yet there are things about Megan Stabler that I tend to take a lot of what the far left of our community takes, now we as a community are pretty far to the left, but there's an extreme left and a centrist position, and even a right wing. I mean, you look around on Facebook, there are trans folks who are right wingers, believe me.
Libertarians.
So, I've been kind of torn, Because I've always seen Megan Stabler as kind of someone who tends towards the center and a little bit too far to the center for my personal taste. So it's prevented me from getting in contact with her, but I think I may wind up doing that, because, you know, the truth is it really doesn't matter where she is. What I want to know is where's, let's say, oh, she has gotten back to me again. Let's see. Okay. She says, I believe we have the House committee votes we need, but a House vote is unlikely due to Repubs. Okay, well, that we know, but that, of course, doesn't answer the question that I had, which was, what is HRC doing? You know, I mean, we could argue the same thing about marriage. That doesn't get in the way. It doesn't stop HRC from investing millions of dollars in that issue. So, you know, I mean, it comes back to like what I was saying to Tico. What the fuck are you doing with all that money? Really? Oh, wait, let's see. Oh, we got another one. Okay, now here's this is a direct response to what I wrote my last tweet. She says, HRC doing as much as we can, pushing Harkin for markup, making sure sponsors line up, including bipartisan. Okay, well, that's a start. But, you know, again, it comes down to what we see. What, you know, when marriage is on the table, we see these full-color ads. We see millions of dollars spent on events. We see all this stuff. And yet we don't see it when it comes to ENDA. I mean, again, it goes back to like what we saw with this mailer I just got from these folks, where it's DOMA, 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 DOMA. And oh yeah, them too, you know, I mean, on the bottom of the third page. You know, it's more, you know, oh yeah, them too politics. And I think that's part of the problem. That is really part of the main issue with the human rights campaign, is we, you know, they haven't done anything that's gone and made you say, ooh, that's impressive. You know, that's what I want. I want them to impress me. I want them to say, wow. I want to be able to say, gee, I didn't expect that from HRC. Nice job. That's what I want to say. But anyway, it is time for another break. I know it seems like we just had one, but we're going to catch up, get back on schedule here. Here's somebody we haven't played in a while. Georgie Jessup. And it's 2012. We'll catch you in 5.5, guys.
3. Can't.
I've seen my mother.
See my mother.
See my father.
See my father.
Yeah, I've seen my brother.
See my mother. See my father.
You're
out of the dark,
you're out of the night. Step into the sun, step into the light. You won. So today, don't be afraid. Take your heart out of the sun.
It's the Rebecca Giro Show, and during the break, I actually had another, I sent Megan Stabler another tweet. I invited her on the show in 2 weeks. We'll see if she responds, and hopefully she will. But, you know, I would like to get into it with her. I mean, we talked to Michael Cole Schwartz, but we have never had, at least not to my knowledge, we have not yet had a trans person who worked for HRC. We are actually going to have, soon, I'm going to be issuing an invitation to Allison Robinson, who is now, of course, with OutServe SLDN. Mm-hmm. And she, I met her in Philadelphia at that event that I met her at recently, when last month or 2 months ago, whenever the heck that thing was. and so we're going to have her on the show. I got to issue an invitation. It's been a little crazy. And I want to remind people, in case you didn't see my Facebook earlier today, in case you didn't know, we are actually going to be taking the week off next week. Mr. Mike has something going on. I also have something going on here. So we're taking next week off. There's going to be no show next week. But we will have a show the following week.
There'll be a fine repeat on instead.
Yes, a lovely high quality repeat that we
I don't know what one of our lost shows probably. There are a few of those.
We've got a few of them circulating in the ether. And so we will not be on next week, but we will be on the week after. If Megan gets back to me, maybe we'll be back with her. Because again, I really, you know, it's one thing to say, you know, that HRC is doing everything it can, but that's a very, you know, we've heard that before. You know, we've heard these political answers, and I don't believe, and I'm sorry, but I don't believe HRC is doing everything it can, because HRC has demonstrated over and over and over, and even to this day, continues to demonstrate that when they're really into an issue like marriage, they can bring a lot of force to bear. The kind of force that they have not brought to bear on ENDA and on employment rights. You just look at their mailings. Look at what they are look at what they are saying to people who they're asking for money. It's four pages of marriage, marriage, marriage. Okay? And everything else is relegated to, like, all but a footnote. And that says something. When I get that in the mail from the Human Rights Campaign, that tells me very clearly where their focus is. When I go to their main page, when I go to their website, and the first thing that I see is a big yellow button right on the front page that says marriage. You know, and I will give them credit, okay? Because right below marriage, 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 there are three little topics. It says Delaware key vote passage, which that's another form of marriage, marriage, marriage. But right next to that is pass ENDA now. And new BSA, Boy Scouts of America resolution. So at least they're putting these things up on their, you know, below the fold, as they used to say in the newspaper business. You know, but then you look at their blog, okay, what's next in Rhode Island? Then there's a copy of their latest tweet, congratulations, Rhode Island. And then it says Rhode Island, and then another one about Rhode Island. Let's see, and then you can click on, it says read more on the HRC blog. So let's do that. So we click, and let's see, Rhode Island, Rhode Island, Rhode Island. New chapter for Colorado Civil Unions. Barbie Rockers, whatever that is, I'm not sure. Oh, it's a benefit for the Human Rights Campaign. Let's go to the second page of blog posts. Arizona to vote on anti-LGBT bill. Oh, that's the one. Okay, that's an LGBT. Immigration reform, Rhode Island. Let's see. Oh, and look at this. There's one. There's actually a blog post about gender. And then back to marriage. And let's see. I mean, are we noticing a pattern here? Delaware, which of course is marriage. Jason Collins. All right. an issue, a post on immigration. Remembering the lasting impact of Ellen's puppy episode. I'm not sure what the, well, whatever. Jason Collins. It's rich gay man. Colorado. Oh, and here's one Cleveland Plain Dealer. Now, you know, actually, this is worth talking about. We got a few minutes. Cleveland Plain Dealer did a story. There was a woman murdered in the Cleveland area. Her name was Cernia Acoff. Her body was found. After her body was found, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, that's the big newspaper there. Their initial report had all kinds of anti-transgender sensationalist coverage. It was really kind of disappointing, quite frankly. Let's see. Here we go. Some of the best reporting on this, as is often the case on these kinds of issues, came from Monica Roberts, Transgrio. She listed a lot of we'll call them infractions, because, of course, don't forget, not only is this just bad form and bigotry, it's in direct violation of the Associated Press Style Book Guidelines, which is basically considered to be the Bible of the newspaper industry, and it's the standards for what journalists are supposed to do when they cover various issues in terms of style, how something is to be written. And basically, if you want a job in this industry, you better know this book backwards and forwards. I have a copy. Okay, now my copy is a couple of years, but, Monica Roberts lists a lot of what these things, what they did. They misgendered the person. They used a police mugshot. They cited her old criminal record for no reason that had nothing to do with the person or with this story. They threw in injected the deception meme, which we see so often in the transgender people are really deceiving, that we're really something else, we're faking, this kind of nonsense. Of course, the tragic transsexual thing that they used. They used sensationalist headlines, basically ignored the victim's dignity and their presentation, which, of course, is, as I said earlier, a direct violation of the AP Style Book Guidelines. and, of course, the fact that she's African-American, I'm sure, didn't help, Basically, the AP Style Book Guidelines, I should mention here, it's not particularly hard to follow. It's basically what it is you use the gender identity and name and presentation that a person went with during their life. If you're talking about somebody who is alive, you go with how they present publicly. And you ask. You ask, how would you want to be, if you're not sure, you ask. If we're talking about somebody who's dead, who can't express an opinion, you go with the way they live their life publicly. It's pretty easy. It's not exactly rocket science. And the truth is more and more, not everyone, there's still work to be done here, certainly. The NLGJA, National Gay and Lesbian Journalists Association, has been working on this for years. I know when I was a member, when I was part of the Trans and Allies Caucus, this was one of the issues that we worked on. And it's really pretty basic level of respect. It's like, this person live their life a certain way. It's not disrespectful to say they were a transgender person, but it is disrespectful to turn around and say somebody who lived their life as a woman and just misgender that person to just say, oh, well, this person was really a man, this kind of nonsense. That goes to the deception meme that Monica was talking about in this piece. It's really not that hard. The problem is that these people just don't care. They only use the AP style book when it's convenient for them. But it's pretty simple. basically, here's what the AP style book says, word for word. Use the pronoun preferred by the individuals who have acquired the physical characteristics of the opposite sex or present themselves in a way that does not correspond with their sex at birth. If that preference is not expressed, use the pronoun consistent with the way individuals live publicly. Now, this has been the way it has been in the AP style book since 2001. So 12 years later, there's no excuse for not knowing. You know, and you know what? Kudos to GLAAD. I have my issues with GLAAD, but kudos to GLAAD for being on top of this one, for calling them out. It's good to see. It's good to see. You know, it really is. It's good to see GLAAD taking a lead on this, because let's be honest. You know, even more than NLGJA, GLAAD has a certain influence on media companies. And I'm glad to see them taking a lead role on this. You know, I've had my issues, and I continue to have my issues with the way GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, or at least that's what they used to call themselves. Now they say they're just calling themselves GLAAD, an LGBT organization. I don't know exactly how that works, which I think this is like, you know, PR bullshit. You know, don't pay attention to the to the title behind the curtain kind of thing. But I give them credit. I give them credit. What I would like to see, I would like to see GLAAD start employing some transgender people. I've been to GLAAD's office. I've seen the people who work for GLAAD. They're good folks. I mean, this has nothing to do. This is not personal with anybody there. They're all terrific people. But you know what I didn't see when I was there? I didn't see a single trans person working in their office. Now, that's not to say that they don't have any. That's not to say that they don't. There may have been somebody who works for them who just didn't happen to be in the office that day. There may be people in other offices. GLAAD is a national organization. They have people in New York. They have people in L.A. They have people in D.C., I assume. So I can't say that they don't have any trans people working for them at all, but I certainly didn't see any in evidence when I went to their offices. I, again, nice people. I would like to see some representation there, just like I would like to see some representation from the Human Rights Campaign, more than just Megan Stadler. I mean, you know, again, I've had certain issues with Megan. I think she's a little not willing enough to stand up to the powers that be in that organization. She's a little bit too much of a capitulator, a little bit too much of an excuse maker. At least she has been. I would like to hear where she is, if she thinks HRC is doing enough. And I hope she'll get back to me. She hasn't so far. Again, I did invite her on the show not just a few minutes ago. I will make another attempt over the course of the next 2 weeks to see if I can finalize that. Because you know what? I've been avoiding asking her to come on for the reasons I was talking about earlier. But you know what? That's wrong. It's unfair, because she should have her chance to speak her mind. And, you know, if we disagree, then we disagree. But, you know, it's not fair to just make assumptions. Just like we don't want assumptions being made about us, it's not fair for us to make assumptions about her. So, as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to make the effort to see if I can get her on the show, ask her if she's willing to speak for HRC from a trans perspective, which is something we really have a lot of trouble getting. Other people who have worked with HRC that we're hoping to have on the show at some point, I've been in contact with Diego Sanchez. It probably won't happen immediately, but I have reason to believe he will be on the show again at some point. He was on going back a couple of years now, a while ago, hoping to have him on again. When that will happen, I can't say at this time, but I'm hoping that that will occur soon, you know, and hopefully not a Harry Reid soon, hopefully a soon, but we'll see with that. But he's another trans individual who has worked with the Human Rights Campaign. We've had Dana Byer on many times, who, of course, is on the HRC Board of Governors. And, you know, but Megan Stabler has been on the HRC Executive Board for a while, since Donna Rose left, or since shortly after Donna Rose left. But we don't, you know, and it makes you wonder. You know, I mean, she gets to see this from the inside. She gets, presumably. I mean, I don't know. You know, that's the problem. Is do we go, what do we go by? What do we go by? Do we go by Megan Stabler, who has been with the organization for a while now? Or do we go with Donna Rose, who told us basically she was cut out of the loop? She was basically screwed over. You know, when the organization decided to fuck over trans people in 2007, basically they kept her out of the loop until the last minute, and she was fed up with it, and she resigned. So, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of ways to look at this. Now, bear in mind, that was 6 years ago, but it's hard to say, because we've had so little representation in the Human Rights Campaign. Literally, you can count the number of people who are trans who have worked for the Human Rights Campaign on the fingers of one hand. I mean, that to me says more about the Human Rights Campaign than probably any other single thing. It's easy to say we support you. It's easy to say we support your right to work. But if you're not even willing to hire some trans people yourself, how much does that really mean? I mean, whatever happened to be the change you want to see? I mean, I have no doubt that there would be trans people who would be highly qualified, who are highly qualified, who would be more than willing. If HRC said, you know what, we want to change the way we do things and we need your help. We need to put some trans people on staff to help us figure this out. If they did that, I bet you there would be trans people who would, I don't know about volunteer, but would be willing to go to work for them. I mean, they've been trans supporters who have been, I mean, I remember one of the things that we were hearing back in 2004 and 2007 was there were a lot of, you know, gay and lesbian employees of the Human Rights Campaign that at those times were wearing these stickers, said one community, one bill. That they were on our side. And they were wearing the, so it's not like we don't have support within the organization. What we don't have is representation. What we don't have is leadership. What we don't have is anything, you know, a way of trans people really having their voices heard without everything having to go through the filter of rich white gay men first. And I think what you see from the Human Rights Campaign, with the focus on marriage, 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 I think that's what you see reflected, is that rich white gay men who are focused on the issues of rich white gay men, who have a president who is a rich white gay man, who have communications directors who are rich white gay men, who have leadership who are rich white gay men. I mean, on and on and on and on and on and on. I think that's what you are. I think that's what the Human Rights Campaign is. And so if you want to advocate, I mean, to me, the Human Rights Campaign advocating for trans people is like you know, an organization made up of all white people trying to say, well, we're advocating for African Americans. You wouldn't find that very credible, would you? You know, I mean, imagine if an organization that was exclusively white said, we're fighting for rights for African Americans. Would you buy that? And if not, why would trans people buy from the Human Rights Campaign that they're fighting for us when they don't include any of us in their organization? When they have literally one and only one, and they've only had. I mean, you know, and this is not a reflection at any way on Megan Stabler, but I mean, when does it become tokenization? Where is the line there? That's what I want to know. Because let's be honest, folks. It's one thing to say you support something. It's another thing to actually support it. You know, it's one thing to say that, let's say you're calling out suffering in Darfur, or you know, some poor African country in the Congo or somewhere. It's another thing to say, well, we're going to put money towards this. We're going to work to fix it. You know, just saying that you're on the side of LGBT people or trans people or anything else costs you nothing. And it's not really support. In order to support something, you have to actually do something. You know, and of course, you know, we got the task force posting on Facebook with this big pink Northeastern symbol, of course, with no reference made to the fact that, you know, in some states, only some people have civil rights, but they don't want to, you know, bring people down while they're busy partying and, you know, clinking those champagne glasses. They don't want to mention, oh, yeah, well, you know, just make sure you're not trans and have one of those champagne glasses in Massachusetts, because you may get thrown out of the bar you're in, or New York, or, you know, well, you know, once again, I mean, literally, I mean, a graphic that literally pink washes the entire Northeast. But, you know, unfortunately, That's today's gay and lesbian task force. The only time we hear from them anymore is when they're rah-rahing for marriage. It doesn't seem like they're doing much as far as unemployment. You know, oh God, now people are sending me Facebook messages. I don't want Facebook messages. Leave me alone. I'm on the air. I'm talking to people. I don't want to talk to you. Who is this? I have no idea who this person is, so I'm good. Bye-bye. But anyway, we're almost out of time. But, you know, I would love to see, you know, I mean, because this is the most annoying thing. Enda is on the table right now. You know, what did we get? We got one press release from NGLTF. That's all. That's what we got. You know, we got a press release. What did we get from HRC? You know, I mean, I'm sure they're doing stuff behind the scenes. Is it going to mean anything? We haven't even got, I mean, how much does it really mean when you can't even get the president of the organization to say that he supports a vote in the Senate on ENDA? I mean, HRC, are you really that big of a pussy that you can't come out that far to say you support it? Because, you know, after all, that might get in the way of their precious DOMA repeal, which isn't going to happen in Congress anyway, which we all know, okay? Because people are going to sing, Jesus told me to hate you, so we are going to keep up DOMA. I mean, this is a Congress that is using taxpayer money to have private lawyers defend the Defense of Marriage Act. And somehow they think it's going, you know, that's worth spending money on. But ENDA, well, no, nah, you know, that they got to go El Cheapo on. I mean, really. You know, see, that's the thing. That's the thing. This is why people have trouble believing these organizations. Because, you know, they say one thing, but then when it comes time, it's like, well, where's your money? Where's your money? Where's the money? Show us the money. Seriously. Seriously. All right. We are just about ready to wrap this sucker up. But I want to say, like Tico said, now is the time. Get on the phone. Call your senator. Call your congressman. Tell them you want ENDA. Do it. Do it today. Well, do it tomorrow. They're closed today. Call your local. You know what? The Congress is out of session. Your local politicians are in town. Call their office. Do it tomorrow. Tomorrow's a Friday. It's a slow day. Call them. Talk to somebody. Tell them you want ENDA. And I want to remind everybody, if you missed anything, if you missed our interview with Tico or anything, we will be repeating the entire show in about 5 minutes after a lovely musical interlude from Mr. Mike. Remember, 2 weeks from tonight, we will be back. No show next week. We will catch you next week. We will not catch you next week. We will catch you in 2 weeks. Have a good night, everybody.